So that was a lot of scriptures this morning. But the point is that there are so many scriptures that speak to God the Father and God the Father in all the ways we're going to talk about this morning. So they're there for you in your bulletin to refer back to. Well, we're in the second week of our sermon series on the dance of the Trinity. And just to give a quick refresher for those who may not have been here last week or who weren't paying attention, I introduced the word to you, perichoresis. And it comes from the Greek theater world, meaning really around a dance. Para is around, choresis is choreography or dance. Thus, we kind of started to talk about the Trinity in this dance mode, this moving, this circular movement of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit kind of dancing around one another. And we have this image here that we're going to refer to again this morning. It's this dance where the love of God is flowing in and out and around. And it's then when this dance is at a certain point actually reaches out and grabs us and invites us into that dance. So a good reminder is that the Trinity speaks with each other. It responds to each other. They listen to each other. And they're in community with one another. So I shared this Russian Orthodox icon created by Andrei Rublev last week. God the Father is the one actually on your left. Jesus is in the middle, and the Holy Spirit is on your right. And I'm using this image to kind of highlight that this three persons of the Trinity is all about interrelationship, about relating to one another, and that God might be inviting us in to doing the very same thing. If you remember last week, it's hard to see on that one, but there's a little rectangle in the front of that table there. And the history tends to think that there used to be a mirror in that when you look or anybody would look into that mirror, it was an invitation of the Trinity for you to join in this mixture. So if you saw yourself in the mirror, you could see yourself as part of this Trinity. Well, today I thought I would delve just a little bit deeper into God the Father. And as you remember, I'm going to pick them apart a little bit. We're going to do God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to put them all back together at the very end. But today I just want to focus on God the Father. So we had the privilege this morning of listening to our youth, Ivy, Caitlin, Mia, and Logan. And they describe God in four different ways. They describe God as creator, God as unchanging and eternal, God as the hearer and answerer of prayers, and God the redeemer. And these are just a sampling of verses, like I said, that I could have chosen. There's hundreds of verses that would speak to the same thing. But let's talk for just a moment about God being Father, if you will. Praying to the Father can give some sense of peace and strength. It gives people a really good, solid foundation feeling when I say God the Father. But to others, it may not mean that same thing. And it may mean it's because of their history. Maybe they've had a history that wasn't so peaceful and comforting with their father, or they have a present relationship that's not very loving and peaceful and comforting. But that's okay, because this doesn't need to stifle our ability to pray to God the Father. We can take refuge in the fact that the God the Father has attributes that don't change. He, in fact, is better than any heavenly father that could possibly be on this earth. Every earthly father has limits, has need for forgiveness for the things that maybe they don't do so well. I know my own father had some great attributes, but he definitely wasn't perfect. But our heavenly Father has no limits, and our heavenly Father is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and without sin. And whether we choose to call him Heavenly Father or some other term that feels better to us, the attributes of all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful don't change. We are encouraged to call God the Father, or Abba, if you will, which is the Aramaic word that, if translated, actually translates into daddy. And it shows our loving, intimate relationship with God. And that's what we're being asked to do when we're asked to say, God, our Father. Well, we talked about God as creator this morning in a couple of the scripture verses. And it's out of this heavenly Father without limits and who is all-loving that God the Father creates the universe. The important piece here is that it's out of love. And if we listen to the scriptures this morning, that was the main theme through all those scriptures, is everything is done from God the Father through love. So it motivates everything that God did from the very first day of creation. The verses from Isaiah and the Psalm speak of this work of God's hands. God sees and feels everything and sees everything on this global and universal level. While he does care about the details, the ability to see things from up here instead of only down here, like we do when we just pay attention to the dirty details of our lives, gives him more power, gives him more knowledge, gives him more ability to show his love to us. God the Father as creator has a different vision and vantage point than we do. And it's because God created the universe with his ultimate plan already known. So how many of us think sometimes about embarking on something and we think we already know the outcome? I'm going to do this, and this is going to be the outcome. And how surprised are we sometimes when that outcome didn't ever happen, but something else totally did? Well, God the Father as creator isn't surprised by the outcome. He already knows what the outcome is going to be. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. God the creator, God the Father as creator, out of love, creates the universe. We also read this morning and highlighted God the Father as unchanging and eternal. We live in a life that, to me, I don't know about you, but to me seems ever-changing. On a day-to-day basis, the events, the circumstances, the people in our lives, mind you, imperfect people in our lives, everything's constantly changing. God the Father negates all of that. He comes in and kind of puts a kibosh on all that chaotic life that we might be living. He comes into the midst of that chaos. God the Father stands in the presence of the world in which he created. And the Psalms that Caitlin read to us this morning are only two of the many. Psalms is a great book for reading about all of these things. But they speak to this attribute of being unchanging. No matter what, no matter what's going on in the world, God the Father remains steadfast in his ultimate plan and does not waver or try going down multiple paths to find alternative solutions. And isn't that what we try to do sometimes? If things aren't working our way, we're going to go through this path and hope that we get the outcome that maybe we like, and it may not be the answer that God has for us. God the Father continues to let his love flow through us, through that dance, through that perichoresis. God does not change his plan or turn his back on us because of the imperfections that we show. This fact can actually give us that solid foundation that we need, that solid rock to stand on, no matter what happens in our imperfect world. Richard Rohr, one of the references that I have listed for you in that bulletin, states this. He says, the people who know God well, such as mystics, hermits, or prayerful people, those who risk everything in their lives to know God better, always will find God as a solid lover, never a dictator. God shows up the same way throughout the scriptures. God the Father in the Old, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them show up the exact same way in the Old and New Testament. One who is working for us out of deep, deep love. This fact never changes. We also read about God the Father as the hearer and the answerer to our prayers. Again, out of this unending love and this flow of love from God, God does not leave us to figure out things on our own. Mia shared the scripture verses from Isaiah and another psalm, which speak to this unconditional love of God, that he always provides what we long for and what we think we want. It is his love that encourages us to call out to him for guidance, to engage him, to help figure out the answer to this solution, to this problem we might have. And when we do this, when we ask for help with God through prayer, we engage and we grow our relationship with him. God the Father wants to be in relationship with us, and prayer is the one way that we can engage in doing that. If we do this on a regular basis, we find that our life's problems that are weighing in on us, that are causing us lots of time to feel anxious or worried, can dissipate. Now notice I said dissipate, not necessarily disappear. Because God may not want us to totally have those anxious moments disappear. They can be teaching moments. But if we're in a really good prayerful life with God the Father, who's hearing that prayer and who's going to answer that prayer, our worries and our anxieties can dissipate. The more we practice this life of prayer, the more we can see this. Now, if we all just took that one issue that we've struggled with all week long and hold it up in prayer with God for this next coming week, we might just find that a newer solution or a different solution might come to being just by holding it in prayer with God. And it might surprise you that it would be a different and better solution than what you or I could have come up with. If we spend time in prayer, we might get an answer that we've been looking for. God the Father hears and answers our prayers, even when we try and convince ourselves otherwise. And lastly, we heard God the Father is Redeemer. Well, that sounds like something a little odd because usually we think of Jesus Christ, God the Son, as our Redeemer. But if you think back to all of our scriptures that I picked this morning, they're all from the Old Testament, and they take us back to the very beginning where God has been working as a Redeemer from day one, even before he so generously gave us his Son. Logan, through Ezekiel and another psalm, has showed us that he's always working on this ultimate plan of saving his people. And he will always work towards that goal of redeeming his people from day one. We can go back to all of the times that we've read that God so patiently tries to bring the people of Israel back into his ultimate plan. God over and over again gives opportunities to his people for redemption, even though they don't necessarily deserve it. And again, this all goes back to the fact that everything God the Father does is out of his unending and unfailing love for his people. The word redeem can mean to make right or to forgive. And if you do a little bit more study with this word, it can sound really simple, but oftentimes it's something that can only happen in a close relationship and often might have to come with a covenant or a promise for it to continue. So it's not something that can willy-nilly be done. Redemption is a big deal, and only God can provide that. But God the Father's been providing that all along. We see it time and time again in the Old Testament, long before God sent his Son. God the Father works as Redeemer of his people. And Richard Rohr again describes the times that God forgives us as a way of saying this: God's own rules do not matter as much as the relationship that God wants to create with us. Now, it's not to say that rules aren't important, but it's really about the relationship. It's because God loves us that much that he's working at redeeming us because he wants to be in relationship with us. One of the books there is The Great Dance by C. Baxter Kruger. And he describes God in this way, which I think really gives us a really good visual. God is not like a divine abstraction, faceless, nameless, or austere. He is not an isolated sovereign, a self-centered king who demands that everything revolve around him. He's not a legalist, a divine bookkeeper, or a cosmic killjoy who sits in heaven thinking up ways to stifle everything that is good. The truth is, God is a circle of passion and life, fellowship, and relationship. And he goes on to describe everything about God, everything we've talked about this morning, the creator, the never-ending, the eternal, the hearer and answer of prayer, and the redeemer, comes from that unending flow of love. And it's freely given without any exception. And it's in this knowledge that allows us to place our life on that solid rock as our foundation. So I want you to look at this icon again with me. So God the Father on the left there, present from day one of creation, who still to this day has an ultimate plan for his people, gives and provides for us out of love. Nothing else matters. And if you look at it, it's a little hard to see in this visual. But if you look at God the Father, he's kind of looking up at Jesus, who's in the middle, and the Holy Spirit, in a way of trying to connect with them. So who is part of this perichoresis, this dance of the Trinity? A dance of love flowing in and around and then out to us, wanting us to join in. And God the Father in this image and God the Father in the Trinity starts to speak to us in this way if we can remember the things that he's already done for us. So I just ask you that again, you kind of ponder that image that I did give copies last week. If you need one, you can let me know and I'll get one for you. But to start to ponder, okay, God the Father, and next week we're going to talk a little bit about God the Son, but looking at these in relationship, because that's where we're going to go with all of this. So anyway, how might God the Father, either the creator, the never-ending, the eternal, the hearer and answer to your prayers, or the Redeemer speak to you today? How might God the Father do that? And I'll leave you with that this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy, we long for this intimate, loving relationship with you and use these names with affection and with the knowledge that your attributes are never changing in this oh-so-changing world. It gives us peace and comfort to know that we can just sit in the fact that you are in charge and that you provide and guide us through life with unconditional love. Help us rely more on this as our solid rock and foundation when we find life difficult and chaotic. We long to know the peace that can come with resting in you. We lift up to you those that find life difficult and chaotic right now and ask that you enter into their lives and breathe some calm and relief. We ask for your loving arms to encircle those that are ill, who are in pain, who are sad, and who are lonely. Help them know and feel your presence during these difficult times. We lift all that are being torn apart by war, by poverty, by oppression, or even just each other, and ask for your protection and grace. We often think, Lord, that we know the answers. Help us to experience how much easier it would be if we just rested in the knowledge that you've got this. We thank you for your never-ending love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.